They do.
All right, tonight, if you have your Bible, Exodus chapter 20. John, I can do this. 22 minutes after 6. I know what time it is. Exodus chapter 20, and we go back tonight and read the Ten Commandments. Last time, Robbie, you had a good Bible study tonight. That's great. Thank you for what you're doing with our young people. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1. And God spake all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in any form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you should labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you should not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. And then number 7, we look at tonight, you shall not commit adultery. Let me say tonight that this is the seventh commandment. It is the third one that deals with relationships to our fellow man. The first four deal with our relationship to God, and the last 6 to our fellow man. This is the seventh commandment. Now, this commandment does not prohibit sex, but it protects sex. And I want to tell you, because God knows that there's no such thing as safe sex outside of marriage. And God originated this. It is His gift. It's not something that is dirty. God created us male and female. But He created us as sexual beings. And there's nothing sinful about sex within the confines of marriage. But I do think that men and women need to understand what their responsibility to each other is. A guy by the name of Dr. Willard Harley wrote a book entitled His Needs and Her Needs. And what he does, being in that book, he gives the 5 top needs of men and of women. God created us different, and we do have different needs. So I want to bring real quick, I want to just read his list tonight, and then I'm going to we'll go eat some watermelon. I'm going to read his list, 5 to men and then 5 to women. Number 1 is what he lists the 5 top needs of most men. And I'm going to give them to you. Here's number 1. Number 1, I'll read them and then I'll come back. Number 1 is sexual fulfillment. Number 2 is recreational companionship. Number 3 is an attractive spouse. Number 4 is domestic support. And number 5 is admiration. Respect. Men need respect. I got a book. Read a book entitled Love and Respect, and it says women need love and men need respect. That's the gist of it. But I'm going to give you these 5 things. Let me mention them, and then I'll come to what the women need. What does a man need? Number 1 is he needs somebody, a mate, that will fulfill the responsibilities of a wife. And the Bible says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 4, the wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command. But I want to say that, number 1, I believe that a wife is a man needs a mate that will fulfill him. I don't believe in sexual abuse, anything like that. But each partner needs to think of the other partner. That's what Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I know a lot of times people, I've made my living counseling for about 45 years along with preaching. That's what I did in the military for many years. And some days, sometime I'd get there until I leave at night, it was marriage counseling, a lot of soldier counseling. And a lot of soldiers would use that to say, well, my wife don't meet my needs. And that they would use that as an excuse. That is not a reason. That is not an excuse. But the truth is, every male, every married man needs to find fulfillment at home. Number two, he needs a mate to be a part of his life. The Bible says over in Genesis 1 that God looked on everything that he made, and behold, it was good. And then he made woman, and he said, very good. But God said this, really, the first time God ever said, created something, and he said it wasn't good, you'll find it in Genesis 2 and verse 18. It says, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. That's the first thing God ever said. Everything else is good, but he said, not good for a man to be alone. He said, I will make a helper suitable for him. And so I want to say the second thing is a man needs somebody to be a part of his life. I don't want you to get the wrong idea when I use the word playmate. But it's a good idea. It's a good word. And I'm glad that God gave me a playmate. We love to hunt and fish. Yesterday, C and I went out. I did something that Mike Newman gets to do a lot of. We don't have an air-conditioned tractor like he does. But we went out, see, he has a farm, a tree farm, out in the edge of Dale County, and she put me on that bush hog yesterday afternoon for about 3 hours. We love to do a lot of things like that together. We love to golf. Why? Golf, I think, Bill, four times last year. And two of them was with Celia. I hate to tell y'all, but she beat me the first time. I will tell you that second time I beat her. And but anyway, it's good. A man needs a companion. And some people like, I know Dale Marsh for one. Dale, I love to visit home. They have antiques. He's really into antiques. Last time we were over there, C and I, he carried us through rooms that Joan didn't even know we was going in. And he said, now I got this painting. We got this one in New Orleans. And he's carrying us through and showing us things. A lot of men into that. And then a lot of people at Kevin into cooking. We had an old friend of mine. He's be the new commander for Rucker in about 2 or 3 weeks. Kevin and Angel Mangum came to visit us on Monday night. And I said, you know what I think I'll do? I think I'll cook some of that red snapper that I caught last week at the beach. And I got some packages. And I said, we'll cook them some of that red snapper. And talked to my daughter and found out. They said, Pam said, now, Kevin and Angel both are gourmet cooks. They're gourmet cooks. And so she talked us right out of it. You know what we said? We said, you know what? We think they like Santa Fe. That's what we did, you know. So we talked about it. But the point is, he cooks with his wife. He's into that. That's a two-star general, but that's one of the things he likes to do, you know. And so I want to say, number one is, a man needs a mate that will fulfill him physically, sexually. Number two, he needs a playmate, somebody that likes to do some of the things, because you build a relationship like that. Number three is he wants somebody that stays attractive for him. Most men like to look at beautiful women. Do I hear amen on that? Amen. The rest of you are going to keep quiet, aren't you? But they do. That's just a human. God made us that way. I love John. Look, John Irby over here. I see him. Look, John, you see him? But they do. And I tell you, there's a physical attraction. I tell you that, and that's one reason, of course, that I don't know why. See, you married me. I remember the story of the old boy that he said he couldn't make it out. He asked his wife one day, said he couldn't figure God out, why God made women so beautiful and yet so dumb. Y'all remember me telling that? You know what Dan says, don't you? He said, God made you beautiful so I'd... She said, God made me beautiful so you'd love me, and God made me dumb so I'd love you. So, but But I would tell you that men like women that stay attractive. And I think it's biblical. Proverbs 31, it talks about the godly wife, the picture of a godly woman. It talks about that woman dressing in silks and purple. And so it's something there you could make a connection. I think the silk would refer to nice clothing. And purple was a popular and expensive. But I think this means that she dressed attractively and stylishly. That's always a good thing for a woman. Number four, supply a supportive home. First of all, I said she needs to fulfill the duties of a wife. Number two, she needs to be part of his life. Number three, stay attractive for him. Number four is supply a supportive home. And I will tell you that it's pretty hard today with women working outside the home to keep a clean house and always have a good meal. But some women would laugh at this scenario. But I know it's hard today. And I think it's only fair, really, if men want a clean house, I know one way to get it. Margot's shaking her head. The man has a responsibility too, doesn't he? Especially today with women working outside. And so there's nothing wrong with dividing those responsibilities. And I know for a long time, for many years, raising my family, I was an outside man, and my wife was an inside man. I mean, lady. I was the outside guy. She was the inside guy. That's the way it worked. But we split up the responsibilities, and I think that's only right to do that. But most men love a sit-down meal. They love that, and they love table time, and really, that's what family life is all about. And number five, show him admiration. That means respect him. The Bible says over in Ephesians 5, I seldom ever do a wedding that I don't read this. I'm doing one down in, got a call this week. I had told them probably a year ago I would do it. A young lady whose daddy was with me, Kevin, at the 82nd, he'd been to me all over the Army. They said she's getting married in September. I had forgot I was doing that wedding. To go to Tampa, Florida. I was glad she called me on July the 4th. He texted me, and I was glad she reminded me. But one of the scriptures I will read, I read two. Here's the two I use, Ben. I use 1 Corinthians 13, the passage on love, where Paul said, though I speak with the tongues, I read it in your wedding, I think, Dinah Ruth. Though I speak with the tongues of, by the way, how many people have I married here in this? Anybody else? Hey, that's right, I did. Moe's shaking his hand back there. I married them 2 weeks ago. Did y'all know that? Two of the newlyweds. They had an anniversary that day, and the Sessions Company, two or three times a year, they feed their employees back here, and they rent our fellowship hall and feed the crew. It's about 150 people back there, and Gene and Moultrie back there, and KB and Moe. And before we dismissed them that day, Moe said, by the way, today, 27 years ago, was a big day in my life. We got married 27 years ago. And so I have my mouth full of chicken or something, ham. But I told him, I said, y'all come on up here. Come get KB to come up here. She didn't know what I was going to do. Guess what I did? We redid their vows right there, down there on their 27th wedding anniversary. So you're right, I did marry you. I didn't use the scripture. It was a short version, really, of the wedding. A lot shorter than yours was, Ruth. But anyway, the Bible says in Ephesians 5, here's where I'm going. It says, wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so let wives also submit to their own husbands. Does that sound hard? Let me tell you the hard one. It says, listen, the hard one is to the husbands. It said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. How much did he love the church? He loved us enough to die for us. And that's what it says. A man ought to love his wife enough to die for her. All right, that's the five things for the husband, about the men. Five things. Number one, fulfill the duties of a wife. Number two, be part of his life. Number three, be attractive. Number four, supply a supportive home. And number five, show him respect and admiration. By the way, I had a lady in my church. John, I don't know if I can do this. I had a lady in my church. When did I start? 22, 6, I'm 15 minutes into it. I can do it. All right, here we go. I had a lady in my church. His name was Layton Betty. And you know, they live across the street from me. And she was always downing him. She put him down so bad. And I don't know how many times I said to Martha, I said, I don't know why in the world Layton Betty stay together. She downs him. She would skin him every chance she got. And I would just say this to you. If I was going to live with somebody, I wouldn't down them all the time. I wouldn't do that. You're going to live with a man, you ought to. And I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. You don't even need this message, do you? But seriously, and you may have known somebody like that, always browbeating their mate. You don't need to do that. Number two, here's a quick thing for, this is for men to women. Five needs. Number one is affection. Number two, conversation. Number three is honesty. Number four is financial support. And number five is family commitment. I want to say that women's basic needs are different. 1 Peter 3:7, it says, husbands, live in the same way. Be considerate as you live with your wives. And treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Well, she may be a little weaker physically, but I don't know that women are weaker in any other way. I really don't. But I want to say this. Five things. Number one, shower her with affection. Most women say that's the number one thing. That is the number one. Counselors say that is, they rate this the number one need of women. They need affection. And as a great story I was reading not long ago of Isaac and Rebekah. We studied this on Wednesday nights. Remember when old Isaac went down to Egypt? He did the same sin as his father had done. What was it? He lied about what? He lied about his wife. He wouldn't admit, he said Rebekah was his sister. But the Bible says old King Abimelech one day, he sees Isaac and Rebekah and he sees the affection that he shows her and he calls him in and says, she's not your sister, that's your wife. You wouldn't treat your sister that way. I saw how you treated her. He treated her with affection. And so I want to say, that's one thing women need is affection. Number two, they need your full attention. And that means build a relationship by talking and by listening. And women need to talk to be understood. I want to tell you this. I learned more listening from Celia than from anyone else. I'll tell you straight up. No joke. She's the best counselor I have. And sometimes we have stayed awake. Doris don't know this, but this is honest truth. We probably have stayed awake an hour and a half, 2 hours some night just talking. Is that true, baby? 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. We just talked. I said, it's 1 o'clock. We need to go to bed. Need to quit this. I don't know what we talk about. Just talk about a lot of things. But I tell you this. This is the truth. That is the most fulfilling. That is talking at a level of intimacy. It's the best thing we do. It's better than watching television. By the way, if you're going to talk to somebody, give them your full attention. Don't try to watch television or read the newspaper. But number two is show her your full attention. Number three, share with her your concerns. A lot of men think if I can't tell my wife about this, my fears or my faults or my failures, she'll think less of me. I don't see it like that way. Do you? I think when a man opens his heart, that's one reason, Jim, I love to pray with people. Me and Wayne pray back there on Sunday. And when old Wayne prays, it's just like he opened the door to his heart. I can see what's going on in his heart when he prays. And I think when a man opens his heart and says to his mate, I'm struggling with this, I think it makes them even closer. I think it makes them stronger and better when they admit that I have these fears and faults. I think she'll actually love and respect him more. Number four is provide for her. I mean, provide financially. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:8, if a man does not provide for his relatives, especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's a man's responsibility, be the provider. Now, I know today it takes two to make a living sometimes, and I believe Proverbs 31 teaches that a godly woman can work. I think this, a long time I preached that text, Craig said, let the women be keepers at home. I remember as a young preacher, about 19 years old, I got in more hot water than a preacher ought to get into, preaching that, you know. Let the women be keepers at home. But I do believe Proverbs 31 teaches that a godly wife can work outside the home. But I do think it's, if they just, to keep up with the Joneses, if you're just working to keep up with everybody else, then I don't know if that's a good decision, especially if you got kids at home. Number five is make a family commitment. How does a man do that? Make a family commitment. Number one is be faithful and be committed only to your wife forever. Number two, be a parent, not just a provider. And that means help with the kids. Give the wife some time off. And be involved in the kids' lives. One of the saddest things, and you've heard this said, I've known a few kids. I've been coaching like you, Robbie. I started like that, 21 years old. And we had kids, Rob. One of the saddest things that could ever be said was my daddy never came to see me play. Or my daddy never came. My mama, my parents never came to our school functions. We probably all known some people like that. But I would say second thing is, number one is be faithful. Number two, be a parent, not just a provider. And number three is, here's the lesson, and I did it. I'm stopping right now. Here's the lesson. Be a good repairman if you can. Be a good handyman. And see, knows I'm probably not that, but I try. I'll do what she tells me. I'll give it a try. But that's a good thing to do. And I'd say this. The little things, it's the little things in life that mean a lot, isn't it? The thoughtful things. I tell you this. Me and C and Doris took Kevin and Angel out to eat on Monday night. On Thursday when I came home from work, there's a 2-star note there. Handwritten, that general had sat down. He probably wrote it that night, Sam, when he got home. I don't know. But he sat down, Bill, and wrote that note, and he said, told us how much that they enjoyed the meal and that kind of thing. The little things. Little things mean so much. It's a good lesson to me. I need to do better about that. I called somebody. I said, I don't know if I got time to make this call. At 10 minutes till 6, I said, I'm going to make this call. Somebody I need to talk to. One of our church members. Do you think that makes a difference at all to somebody? I tell you, John Granger is my pastor, Mike. And it means something every time. John came to see me last week. Tracy came in and said, have you got a few minutes to talk to Brother John? I said, I always got time to talk to John Granger. Always. He's my pastor. And the little things. That meant a lot to me today when John Wallace, when it popped up at 4:26 this afternoon, when it popped up on my, and I heard that phone ring, Josh, and my little, it started dinging. And it was John Wallace. It meant a lot to me. The little things mean so much. That's the commandment number 7. Number 8 will be to follow on Wednesday night. I hope you'll be around. If you're here, hope to see you on Wednesday night.